This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. Organizers for the People's Climate March this Saturday, April 29th, are hoping to outdo the huge success of last week's Earth Day March for Science events. Since the Women's March in January, activists from all walks of life have descended into the streets of their cities for regularly scheduled marches and demonstrations to send a strong message to Donald Trump. But no issue is as existentially important as climate change. By threatening to withdraw from the Paris Climate Accords and massively cut the EPA's budget, Trump has provoked broad public anger. This Saturday, a major demonstration in Washington, D.C., and corresponding satellite events all over the country will mobilize under the banner of the People's Climate March. Joining me now is Paul Getsos. He is the National Coordinator for the People's Climate Movement. Welcome to the program, Paul.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. Thanks so much for joining us. So what is expected to happen, first of all, in Washington, D.C. this Saturday, April 29th? What is the reason that you want people and the media, et cetera, to take away from the gathering that's taking place there?
Yeah, so I have to start the story before the election of Donald Trump, because the People's Climate Movement, which is organizing the march on the 29th, started to plan what we would do around the next president back last summer. And so we had chosen the date, April 29th, as well as to run a campaign during the first 100 days to really make climate change and action on climate change with a strong commitment to racial and economic justice a core platform of the next president. We thought it was going to be Hillary Clinton. We thought we would be marching on April 29th to demand bold action on climate. And now on April 29th, with the election of Donald Trump, we are forced to be more reactive and in a resistance mode. So on April 29th in Washington, D.C., and in over 300 communities around the country, People's Climate Movement will be organizing marches to show our resistance, to protect our planet, our communities, and our people against a range of attacks, ranging from fighting and cutting back on climate action to attacks on immigrants, communities of color, and workers.
So this sounds like a very broad based set of issues. And is that in a way a response to past critiques of the environmental movement as ignoring issues of racial injustice, et cetera?
Yeah, so, you know, the People's Climate March that happened in 2014 was a kind of the next phase of work and activism and organizing around the issue of climate, building off the powerful work of environmental justice organizations around the country that have been organizing for decades around local issues, around pollution and siting of facilities, along with the amazing work that our green and environmental partners have done working on lobbying and mobilizations, organizations like Sierra Club, organizations like 350, and small EJ groups like UpRose and NYJA and APEN and too many others to talk about. The People's Climate Movement, the People's Climate March in 2014 specifically reached out to new constituencies like labor union members, multi-issue community organizations, immigrant groups, communities of color, to basically implement our tagline, which was, it's going to take everyone to change everything. And so at that point, we really thought that we needed to build a broad-based movement to really build enough power to address the critical issue of climate change, which was impacting our planet and our communities. And I think in New York, there was a unique moment because we were hit, like New Orleans, by a climate crisis, Hurricane Sandy in our case, and many communities of color and low-income communities, as well as workers, were impacted by that climate crisis. And so people made those connections.
Right. I mean, often it's the poorest among us, marginalized communities that are hit hardest by either small environmental issues, such as living next to industrial sites, or the big ones like climate change. Now, the March for Science that I mentioned took place last weekend. It was Saturday, April 22nd. The People's Climate March is Saturday, April 29th, exactly a week later. A couple of days later is going to be May Day, the general strike that people are calling for that focuses primarily on immigrant rights. Do you see a line connecting all three marches within, I guess, 8 or 9 days?
Absolutely, because again, our partners include organizations that supported the March for Science, like 350, Union of Concerned Scientists, and others. And because on May 1st, many of our partners like SEIU, our labor union partners, and some of our immigrant rights and multi-issue organizations, Grassroots Global Justice and others, are supporting May 1st and organizing to protect immigrant workers and immigrants. We really conceived of it in DC. We're talking about this as a week of action on climate justice and jobs. And our frame is we're starting off with truth on April 22nd, and we are ending the week in justice by supporting May 1st. And so while the People's Climate March on April 29th is the anchor around climate, we have specifically asked our members and our partners and people to support both the March for Science, and even more importantly, I think, or not more importantly, but just as important, May 1st. And so concretely, we're telling people, once you march on April 29th, if you come to DC, and we hope everyone comes to DC, is go back and march in your communities and support immigrants and immigrant workers.
On May Day, right? Just a few days, 2 days later. Now, for those who can come to DC, where can they find out about the details of what's happening April 29th? I'm imagining, I mean, I know on January 21st, when the Women's March took place, there were so many people that showed up that it ended up turning from a march into a gathering because there wasn't space to march. People just were there and filled up the space that people were supposed to march. So it's going to be possibly, you know, huge. So it's important to be aware of the logistics. Is there a website you can recommend for those heading to DC?
Yeah, so you should check out our website for peoplesclimate.org. That's peoplesclimate.org. You should register to get up-to-date information. On the website, you can find out logistics. We have a great logistics video that has been that features some of our local EJ leaders and frontline community leaders.
EJ meaning environmental justice.
Mm-hmm. Yes, environmental justice leaders, explaining the route and the plan for the day. You can also find out about a local march near you. That we are really asking, though, for those groups and people that are within a 8 to 15 hour drive from DC. It's never too late. Fill a bus, get on a train, carpool, and come join us in DC, because it is the 100th day of the Trump administration, and we want to be at the White House doing a collective action and showing him what we need and what our communities need, and to show there's a big resistance.
Okay, so for those who are a little bit further away from DC, like on the West Coast where we are at, there are marches happening in cities like Los Angeles, San Francisco, et cetera, too, right?
Yes, there are different activities, marches, actions. In LA, there's a march that's happening in a frontline community. In the Bay Area, in Oakland, there's going to be a rally and sign making in support of May Day. I believe there's a march in San Diego. There's a big march in Las Vegas. So yes, we really want people to show up and support all the marches across the country.
Now, the march that's happening is in DC is the tagline is March for Climate, Jobs, and Justice. Why are you linking the issue of jobs to climate? And why aren't our politicians, for example, making those same links?
So it's important to remember that the way we get to address climate change is by massively shifting the way that we produce and consume energy in our country and around the globe into a new clean and renewable energy economy. That requires a lot of work and a lot of changing the technology and the way we currently consume and produce energy. And so that can be everything from repairing our grids to building new mass transit systems to creating more energy efficient homes, apartment buildings, and offices. An example, I'm from New York. The number one carbon emission culprit in New York City is not cars or automobiles. It's public. It's buildings because of the bad insulation. And so, by making our buildings more energy efficient, we're able to save energy. We're able to cut down on fossil fuel use, and we're able to do that. Tokyo and New York are those two cities that actually that's the number one reason for contributor to global warming. I think that. To do that, we need to create a lot of jobs. We need to create a lot of jobs in a very short amount of time. This is not a 50 or 100-year fight. This is something we have to do in the next 10 to 20 years. If it's switching to electric cars, if it's building more mass transit systems, if it's making our buildings more energy efficient, we could put a lot of work people to work. And then for us, the justice component is that we want to make sure that communities of color, workers, poor people both have access to these new jobs and that these jobs pay a family sustaining wage and have the right to unionize and belong to workers' unions. And so that's why we're connecting climate to jobs and to justice.
And of course, if you look at the way in which Donald Trump and the Republican Party have used the issue of jobs, they've often pandered to working class Americans who might be, for example, in the coal industry and promised to undo climate progress because they are interested in saving jobs in one or two industries that really ought to be dying. Industries. Is this aspect, connecting climate with jobs and justice, really an effective way to speak to all Americans, many of whom are hurting economically and who are really concerned about climate change?
Yeah, I mean, and first of all, I think it's important that for many centuries, the wealth of this country the energy that has been produced on the backs of workers like coal mine workers, like steel workers, like workers in the fossil fuel industry. And I think the first step to transition is what we call a just transition. And so we need to make sure that the workers who produce the energy that we've consumed and continue to consume are taken care of through severance packages, buyouts, and transition to new good jobs, right?
And job training. I mean, it's so important.
Training, exactly. And so I think that's one of the key components of how we talk about a just transition. And then I think we have to think about the new economy and the new energy economy and how we're going to expand access and expand clean and renewable energy. And we need to make sure that those jobs and those new industries are unionized, pay the same wages as the wages that were in the old fossil fuel industries, have worker protections, and are available to women, people of color, and unemployed people. So we make sure that the transition to a new energy economy benefits everybody. So I think those are some of the core components of how we think about this transition.
So, Paul, people marched last Saturday. They will march this coming Saturday. They'll march on Monday, May Day. But then what? What is the groundwork that people need to do to achieve the agenda that we'll be talking about in the marches, to actually achieve it politically? I mean, it feels overwhelming when we think about the stranglehold that the climate denying Republican Party has over Congress and the person that's occupying the White House. So to translate street action into political action is our biggest challenge. What are the plans after the marches die down and people, activists like yourself, take a break and then gear up again? What's to happen then?
Yeah, so I think there's a couple of things. For PCM, for People's Climate Movement, the march is a moment and a tactic and a tool to build and strengthen the movement, right? So already we have, I think, over 140,000 people that have pledged to participate with the PCM, right? We've already done 150 vigils. We've built multi, coalitions in different states that represent, you know, not just Greens, but EJ environmental justice groups, community organizations, labor, faith, students, et cetera. So I think we've already laid the groundwork for the work that will take place on April 30th and beyond. I think for me as a long-term organizer, I think what's important is that we build relationships and build local campaigns that actually make wins and concrete changes in people's lives so that then we're able to shift the political mindset, and then we can work to ensure that we have leaders that represent all of our community's needs. I think it's important to remember a majority of Americans believe action on climate change is important. A majority of Americans support good paying living wage jobs, family sustaining jobs for our communities and for people. And I think people want to treat people, and a majority of Americans want to support workers who've been in the industries that we now need to transition out to. We don't have to change people's opinions. What we have to do is organize people, build relationships with people in different places in the country who may have different political opinions, and get them to understand collectively we need to work together to really hold our elected officials and our corporate leaders accountable to transition and to address climate change.
Paul, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Good luck on Saturday.
Thank you so much. I'm going to ask everybody once again to check out peoplesclimate.org and to come to DC if it's possible and join us in the streets.
That's peoplesclimate.org. Thanks so much, Paul.
Thank you so much.
My guest is Paul Getsos, the National Coordinator for the People's Climate Movement. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.